The world can seem upside down at times, which has set me on a journey in search for love, truth, and ultimately personal freedom. I'm on a mission to help people find peace and healing so that each of us as individuals and ultimately the collective can be free from whatever keeps us stuck and skews our view of just how beautiful this life can be. Welcome to the Lucas Mack Show.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome back to another episode of the Lucas Mack Show. I am Lucas Mack. I'm so pumped for this episode to drop. I recorded with Anthony Graffio, who is an amazing brother, someone who we talk conspiracy theories, rabbit holes, faith, his redemptive story. And we also talk about his new company, which is a product that I use regularly, almost nightly, to cook our food. We love it. It's called the Ungovernable Project. Which is a beef tallow company for cooking and also skincare. This is a really cool story. I know you're going to like this. And Brother Anthony, thanks for coming on. I love you. And everyone, enjoy this episode. So everyone, like I just said, I've been following this brother for a few years now, and I've seen him grow into a mighty man of God, a mighty man of truth, and just excited to have you on, brother. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me on, man. You have been following for a long time. It's so crazy to see like people that have been following me for so long, because it's like almost like a metamorphosis, right? Like I've had so many different stages to get to this stage. And like even before, people were following me on Instagram and stuff. Like just like you said, like where I'm at right now compared to where I was is like only by the grace of God, you know?
Beautiful. It's beautiful, brother. We got so much to talk about. We're going to talk about the Ungovernable Project, talk about what's going on in the world and you know, how you came to the truth and just your journey. But one, for people who have never seen your content or known your story, you know, give us a little bit of background where you grew up and just tell us about your story, brother.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So my name is Anthony Graffio. I'm a black belt in conspiracy theory, truther. My story starts in a small town in New Jersey called West Caldwell, New Jersey. I'm from the East Coast. I lived about 20 minutes from New York City. Mm. So kind of got caught up in the lifestyle of, you know, going out and clubbing and doing all that stuff, staying out real late and just doing all sorts of debauchery. But what really started me on my truth journey, because I'm sure that's what we want to talk about first, I was in seventh grade when the Twin Towers went down. Mm. And yeah, it was actually one of my neighbor's father died in it. My father was supposed to work that day, and by divine intervention, the train was late for him to get into that to the building. So, So it definitely it hit home for sure, to say the least. And I was already kind of like looking into different conspiracy theories. I started super young. I read the book "Behold the Pale Horse" by William Cooper.
Awesome.
That was like my first book.
You were young.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I was super young. And then like, I started looking into like the music industry and like, you know, which is prevalent today, right? Like all of this stuff, how it all just is coming out now is insane, because I've literally been watching this happen for like 20 something years at this point. I'm 35, so it's just crazy to see how far this journey has truly taken me. But I started looking into like the music industry stuff, Jay-Z, P. Diddy, all these people. Just like it was very it wasn't as loud as it is now with their symbolism, you know. It was there, but you kind of had to look for the symbolism, right?
Yep. Yep.
It was more hidden. They weren't as bold as they are now, to say the least.
It was more the artwork they presented versus them actually doing the symbolism, you know, themselves.
Exactly. And like the symbolism they did, you had to kind of be in the know of what they were doing to know about it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, they're putting Satan directly in a music video, or they're like, you know what I mean? Like, it was very subtle. And then like it as it grew, it expanded very fast to the point we're at now. But I started to look into just different rabbit holes, and the 9/11 one is like really what got me, you know. I forget when it came out. I want to say it came out probably like 2000, like 10 maybe. I don't know. Zeitgeist. I watched. Yeah, that was an early one too. I watched Zeitgeist. I watched Loose Change. Like all these different things. And let me tell you something. From doing these deep digs into these Illuminatis and all this stuff at that time, Alex Jones and all this stuff back then. Especially as a young kid, right? Like in middle school to high school, it frankly scares the life out of you, right? And you want to go and tell every single person about it. Like, dude, they're going to come. There's this new world order. There's this plan. Nobody listens to you, man. Nobody listens. Not back then. Now it's like the end thing to talk about, right? It's like more a popular thing because it's more in their face at this point. But back then, you're called the crazy guy, the crazy conspiracy nut guy. Right. Oh, like even my own family, you know, they just thought I was absolutely insane. And now they're like, whoa, maybe my son was onto something all these years. But so yeah, I've been doing this a very, very long time. And I've been talking about it on the internet for a long time. I mean, I've been making crazy, you've seen, I have like almost prophetic Facebook posts from like the early 2000s of things that happen on this timeline, because I didn't know when it was going to happen. It's kind of like when like Jesus is going to come. Nobody knows. Right. Nobody really knows when it's going to come, but there'll be signs.
Right.
And, you know, we got to the point where it's like the signs are showing, you know what I mean? Like, All the dots are lined up. Everything is shown now. And it's like, is that for a purpose? Like, are we in like a devolution kind of thing? That's like, we're unpsyoping the psyop that it has to happen at such a extreme rate? Or are we like in at the actual, like maybe the birth of the New World Order? We don't know. In my personal opinion, I don't want to talk about, you know, 17 and all that to get you in trouble, but
yeah, no, we can talk about it all. Faith they're on. You know, it's interesting. I've got many episodes getting taken down. I have a couple strikes, but I don't care.
Okay. You know, we'll say 17. Okay. So when 17 came online, that kind of was like a confirmation for me. At first, I was like, this is a LARP. This is fake, because people are showing it to me. They're like, dude, did you see this on 4chan? And da 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 da. And I'm like, it's BS. Come on, man. That's like this a kid in his basement or whatever. Mm. And then I started to see like that. Dots started to connect with like Donald Trump, and like actual events started to happen. So I was like, let me look into this thing actually, you know? And then like everybody else, it kind of just built this like giant community of like people that have felt like me and have been in that dark place and like known about this stuff for so long, but didn't have the voice to really talk about it. And it was like, I finally like had a community of people that started to understand. And then from like 2017 on, when like, you know, 17 came online or whatever, so many events started to happen, right? It's like, I think Epstein was like a true catalyst of like for the truth to come out to people, right? Because they're like, some people are still in the dark about things, and you know, like 17 says, 4 to 6% gone forever. So they just might never get it through their head. But like people like my mom and stuff that called me a crazy conspiracy theorist for so long, she was like, whoa, like Donald Trump is saying there's a deep state. There's like this island with all these high level people that are going to it and doing sick things. Like, so it started to confirm things for the normal person. Right. Mm. And like, to kind of like speed up to where we are now is like, we're literally watching the whole thing being dismantled. Right. And in my personal opinion, a lot of this has already been done.
Yep.
I mean, you know, during COVID.
Yeah.
Like so many weird things, the Tom Hanks stuff and all the weird symbolism. Hasn't
tweeted since Australia, you know, gone.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. And we live in the time of like CGI and AI. So they could literally make anybody look like they're alive and you know, prosthetics and whatever, yeah, and
exactly
wearing masks and costumes and all crazy kind of stuff, which I believe in. Yep. Joe Biden's ear canals, they connected one time, now they don't.
Exactly,
so,
right, exactly. But that's so just a facelift. That's just a facelift, you know?
Yeah, exactly. A facelift changes your earlobes.
Right.
But yeah, like to speed your audience back up to where we are. But yeah, that's what like sent me down my first rabbit holes, was like the 9/11 stuff and the music industry. And then like, you know, for all the every single documentary that had to do with like conspiracy, or I was big into aliens too. I'm not in anymore. You know, when I read the Book of Enoch, that all started, was like, oh, they're fallen angels.
Yep.
But I was big into all that stuff, like Valiant Thor and like,
right,
Area 51. Like I looked into every conspiracy theory that you could think about. I've looked into it. I've read it. I've looked into it. I've studied it, and it's gotten me to this point where the number one thing that people will find at the bottom of the rabbit hole is Jesus Christ, straight up. That's what's at the bottom of the rabbit hole. People are searching and digging and looking through all this stuff. It's Jesus. Jesus is there, because you see that Satan is there. Satan is real, and you can't have one without the other, right?
Right. That's right. That's right. Man, brother, it's amazing. You know, I just want to affirm and parallel. So 9/11 was an interesting experience. I mean, for so many, but my personal story for 9/11, I was working construction. I paid my way through college and was working manual labor at this construction company. So it was really early. I grew up in Seattle and I'm on my way. And I used to listen to the Christian radio station, the FM station, every morning when I'm driving to the work. And it was like the typical morning DJ FM, like, you know, like that totally cheese ball. Like, and it was fascinating. He's like talking like, hey, all right, coming up next. And he goes, oh, like his voice changed. He's like, oh, something. And he starts talking about a plane hit the tower and his voice changed. And I saw just the veneer get pierced of that fakeness. I have not listened to FM radio since 9/11, 2001. Since that day when I heard like the fake, like, oh, you're all fake and phony. And then, you know, that piercing. It's so fascinating how it pierced so many veils on different layers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but I went into journalism. So I was a TV reporter for many years. So I never looked into the 9/11 conspiracy. I heard about it. I knew about it. You know, I knew it existed, but I wouldn't touch it because I was still, I was aware. Like I've been aware about, I grew up in a deep, almost a deep state home when it comes to religion. So I understand the religious side of like the deep state and how all of it works. But when I finally dug into 9/11 and when I met 17, and I feel like it's a meeting of 17, it's almost like,
my
whole world made sense. Everything.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, it was funny how I found it was on TikTok. And you know, that guy who we had communicated, the guy who passed away, took his life, on that show, Cannabis and Combat, it was like a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and there was like conspiracy, like, you know, yeah, Justin. So I saw him on TikTok and I started seeing his videos and started watching him. And I'm like, dude, what is all this? And then I started reading for myself. I'm a huge proponent. And this is why I love why you speak with such authority, is because you know the posts. It's like people who don't know the scripture, know the Bereans, the Bible says they studied the scriptures daily. You know, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yes.
And when people read Q for themselves versus allowing the media narrative of QAnon or all the, you know, it's everyone's going to tell you anything about everything, what to believe. But those who go first source, that's where the power is. And there's this quote, I say it often on this podcast. A.W. Tozer is this old preacher, wrote tons of classic books, but he has this quote. He says, a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. So when you read it yourself, when you experience it, who's going to say, no, it's not true, right? When you read these first four. So anyway, I just resonate that, you know, the posts and you know, and it helps ground, and it's like standing on a firm ground.
For sure. Definitely. You know? It's like, like you said, like without that structure, without understanding really what it was at first, I was questioning it too. But having the background that I have in the reality of my life of witnessing all of this stuff for so long, when I saw it and I saw the things that connected to it, I was like, yeah, all of this is right. There, you know, like every single thing that they're saying, there's not one thing that's wrong. Now, the problem is what happened when too many people got the information is a lot of people took advantage of that information. And they, a lot of people created their own timelines and their own stories and their own situations and scenarios and dates and this and that. And it turned a lot of people off from it instead of actually going into the meats and the potatoes of it and just like witnessing it for yourself and reading it and disseminating it instead of like listening to a talking head like you would on Fox or CNN.
Right.
You know? And they messed it all up, you know, they messed it all up. And it's still, you know, you got deltas and things that are still going on to this day. Sadly, we can't even post a drop on Instagram without getting deleted. I've been deleted 22 times. I can't lose another page, honestly. I worked way too hard. You know what I mean? So now it's like, for me, like with posting and stuff, it's like, I just could post the news because it's like the news is the drops.
Right.
It's like, it's the reality of the situation. You know, we got, you want to talk about a situation like P. Diddy,
right?
Like, this is a huge, huge like player in the game. A lot of people are like, oh, it's a distraction. It's this, it's that. No, it's freaking not, dude. It's lower on the totem pole of what it is at a whole.
Right.
But it's still a huge piece on the chessboard.
Yeah.
A huge piece because they all connect. They all connect. They all party. They all blackmail this, that. They're all together on that kind of forefront. So that situation happening right now is proof to me and to people that have looked into 17 of seeing, oh, okay, well, things are starting to get rolling now. Like the ball starting, it's in motion. I've felt like it's been in motion the whole time, but you have to be really deep on the inside to understand that, you know, somebody like you, that you follow me, you understand, like you've seen so many like situations that have tied and dates and this and that and numbers and signs. It's like, for people that believe, oh, that's a psyop or your audience that doesn't, you know, whatever. It's truly not. Like we're at the point that we're at right now because of this, because Donald Trump became the president.
Yep.
Like in reality, if the other timeline for maybe people that don't like Trump on your audience, I'm sure they all love him, but sure for, on the other timeline, if Hillary Clinton won, it wouldn't be what you guys think. It would be very, 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 very catastrophic.
Right.
It would be way, way worse than what Biden is. Biden is like, this is like, it's messed up. We're going to get through it. It's horrible, I know. But what Hillary had planned in 2016, if she won, was a way, way different situation coming at us.
Yeah, that's right. It's fascinating. Even there's so much numerology. You know, I grew up in Christianity where it was like numerology is evil and satanic and you have to watch out for all these things. But really, it's not. The Bible is a numeric code book. It's a coded book. And, you know, so you look at, I look at a couple of things. Trump enters the scene in 2017. And so if you add 2 + 1 + 7, that adds to 10. But you drop a zero, and that's year one. And one is the beginning. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the word. So year one is 2017. Also, Q enters what month? October. You drop the zero. Q enters on 1/1, essentially, if you look at that number.
Yeah.
And so 2017 is the beginning. 2018 adds the two. Two in the Bible is witness. Jesus sent his disciples out by two to give witness. The Spirit of God moves on the face of water in Genesis 1:2. So two is witness or testimony.
Mm.
Three is the number of God. And Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. So three is this number for God. Four is the number of division. So 2020 adds to four. And the first time the word divide is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis 1:4. It says, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So you have 40 days of fasting, 40 days of rain, 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, 400 years of captivity. Four is always going to separate pre and post. So 2020 divided everyone. intentionally. It was the wheat and the chaff. It was the sheep and the goats. It was
sure.
When Jesus says, those will seek to save their life, the same shall lose it. Those who are willing to lose their life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. The dichotomy of that. Anyway, so we get all the way to, I want to talk about Trump real quick in the two timelines, because I think this is fascinating for the audience to hear. So 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. So I had the Champ, the designer of the Great Awakening map. I had him on a couple podcasts a couple years ago, and we were talking about this, and I read that verse to him, and he goes, trumpets? He goes, Trump, wow. Pence.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, because I was saying the last Trump, like the last president with, you know, Lockwood, but he's saying trumpets. And then I looked at, who did Hillary take as a VP candidate? Kane, Timothy Kane. So you had the House of Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you basically have the Edemic race versus the Blue Bloods playing their timelines out. And 100%. Thank God for his mercy and grace in this timeline. We aren't on that other timeline. So it's a fact, bro.
That's people, powerful.
And that's the grace of God. People have no idea. This is where, and we're in year 8 right now, 2024, and 8's the number new beginning. God commanded them to circumcise themselves on the 8th day. God rests on the 7th, on the 8th. Starts again, like 8 is always the number of new beginning. But if you put it horizontal, it is Infinity. The X, but it's also the X. It's the timeline of people are going to go one way or the other. There's a definitely. There's a split, you know. So we have all this truth coming out. We got guys like Cat Williams, just like in his amazing way, telling everyone,
so good.
You know, like it was the best. Even Rogan is now like, I was listening to an episode of his the other day with all Ari Shaffir and all these guys on it, and they're like who's gonna vote for Trump, and they said the better question, who isn't in this room gonna vote for Trump?
Yeah,
say anything. That's where we're at right now. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about Joe Rogan, I actually just did a podcast with my friend who were he does security at the Comedy Mothership, and yeah, we were talking and we were just saying, like, Joe is being surrounded right now by Christ. Like, he just is being bombarded by it almost, right? Mm. It's like all these guests that he has on, from like Oliver Anthony pulling out the Bible in front of him.
Right.
Kid Rock telling him, I'll get you up, my preacher.
Yeah, that was
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Like,
he's surrounded by it right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, that is like God. I mean, if Joe Rogan turns to Jesus, he is like the Paul of our time, straight up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's how of a mouthpiece that Joe Rogan would be for Christ. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we might see that, dude. I feel like we might see that. Honestly, I feel like
That gives me chills. Yeah.
Me too. The Lord is definitely working his hand in Joe Rogan's life. I believe that. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, he's controlled opposition and da 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 da. But in my personal opinion, if God could take Saul and change him into Paul, I think that, unless they're pedo and do some really messed up things, right? Because those people, no matter what, like you said, they're the bloodline of Cain.
Yes.
I actually had this conversation. It's funny. I had this conversation with my friend the other day who was lived in a Christian household his whole life and is kind of looking into like Judaism and like believing that Judaism is like the true religion. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain to him, you know, Revelations 3:9 about like, oh, I'm sorry, 2:9 about, you know, fake ones and the synagogue of Satan and all that stuff. And it really, it ties back, in my personal opinion, it ties back to when Noah cursed Ham. Right.
Yeah.
Because that is the bloodline of Cain right there.
Right.
Right.
Well, he cursed Canaan.
Yeah.
It's done because Cam was already blessed. So he had to curse Canaan because he
couldn't
take the curse back. And, you know, dude, you're right. I mean, keep going, man. It's
interesting, right?
Bro,
interesting.
It is so fascinating. And, you know, I grew up, it's just not about me. I just contextually.
Yeah.
I've been questioning the entire eschatology, whatever the timeline that we're on. Like, I'm even at the point right now where I think we might be at the time where Satan was loose for a time and season in Revelation.
I've heard this.
You know, and I'm not saying this is true or not, but it just seems like it is so beyond.
Yeah.
It's beyond.
Yeah, it's rampant, it's for sure.
Absolutely insane, you know?
So do you believe with that theory, because I've heard that theory before, do you believe that like Tartaria was the millennial reign and like why they got rid of all these buildings?
One thing I liked about the King James Bible, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 or 13, when it says like love is patient, love is kind, it says charity, it uses the word charity. It says charity believeth all things. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can believe that. And what does it feel like? Like, all right, did Jesus reign and rule? Why did all the kings and all these countries, even though they had different names, the paintings of the kings all look the same? Was it, did he rule and reign? Anyway, we know, like,
it's interesting. Very interesting.
Wake people up all the time, even going to Austin, like, look at that Capitol building, and they tell us that people that lived in the Alamo built that, like the Alamo,
yeah,
you know, like what, monkeys and wheels, like,
yeah,
wagons built Austin.
Exactly.
No, the answer is no, they didn't. So I actually really like this Tartarian narrative, which also I think they mock Tartaria by calling it barbarian. Like, who did they say took Rome down? The barbarians. They really think it's Tartarians. And then Joseph Stalin, one of his first edicts as premier was to kill all remaining Tartarian bloodline. Well, I'm fascinated by the concept. I don't know if it's true or not.
You think the Romanovs were?
I think the Romanovs were highly intelligent,
blessed
Christian, Orthodoxy favored people. Yeah. Yes. My Russian neighbor, we were in Seattle, and then we moved to Dallas a couple years ago. But my Russian neighbor, his grandfather was killed for being a pastor in Soviet Russia. And then his father-in-law was also jailed for being a Christian pastor. They let him out. The day they let him out, they executed him. And so he lived in, like, just, they hated Christians. Like, Soviet Russia hated Christians.
Bolsheviks.
Exactly right. And he would tell me about Peter, Tsar, and he would just talk about what a great mind and what, you know, he was well-read and people loved him and he was for the people. And he's talking about the Romanovs like it was the legacy. I always look at the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And yes, the Romanovs have a good name. There's a good name passed down that has been tried to erode. So I'm fascinated. Like, I look at all this stuff, like, you know, the Melania story is like, is she, why not?
Could she be?
I mean, at this point, why not? Why would she not be? The world's so crazy on the dark side. Why would it not be just as crazy on the good side?
Exactly. And like that whole entire timeline of like Putin and the soccer ball, they actually met on like the 100th anniversary of the Romanovs being killed. The Romanovs, all their jewelry was stolen. Trump actually says we need to return the diamonds. The diamonds of the Romanov family were stolen.
Wow.
They say that they never found Anastasia's body. They never found her body. She's a hollow grave to this day.
Wow.
So they never found her body. There's a lot of things that, you know, you look at the actual Disney movie, they make her look like Melania Trump. I've put up a picture before, like, you put them side to side. They're wearing like the same black dress and like crown little thing. Like, so is it really so far-fetched to believe that?
Right.
You know, like my personal opinion is like, I do believe that there's a bloodline that comes directly from Christ, and that it's the opposite of the blue blood. Right. Yeah. It's like, yep. It's like almost like
the Adamic line. It's the Adamic.
Yes.
Line. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, it's almost like there's like light, like in their DNA, right? Mm. Like it's like they're just a different kind of like person. And the crazy thing is that it's not only because they're in a bloodline, like a family, because JFK Jr. and JFK, for example, they're from an evil bloodline. Their family, the Kennedy family, was one of the 13 families in the Illuminati.
Yep.
So It's not even like it's a bloodline that is through family, but it's a bloodline. It's a fingerprint, we'll call it. How about that? It's a fingerprint. Kind of like how God put his fingerprint on David. Like you look at the you put you look at in the Bible, right? The Old Testament, you look at who he chose, right? Ezekiel, he chose all these Jeremiah, all these prophets, right? So do you like why would that just stop, right? Why would that just stop? Why would he just be like, Old Testament, okay, we sent Jesus, but now we're just gonna stop? No, I don't believe that. Like, you know, you go back and you look like JFK Jr., Lincoln, John. Why did they want to kill John Jacob Astor, Guggenheim, Isidore Strauss, and sink the Titanic?
Patton, right? Or Patton and all, you know, exactly.
Why do they
But
want to take these people
the bloodline,
out?
I love the blood, you know, the blue tent, you know, they did the bloodline story. I freaking
That's
love it.
deep.
Dude,
Yeah,
it's
that was
deep and
deep.
it's great. Like, why not?
Yeah.
I'm at the point, you know, the Bible says that it says in Hebrews, it says, we see then that they cannot enter in because of their unbelief. And so the Israelites cannot enter into the promised land because of their unbelief, the murmuring, complaining. And then you look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So scorning, disbelief, jaded, saying, nah, being like the three friends of Job that are constantly telling Job, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? Just curse God. Even his own wife's like, curse God and die. Just be done with this. This is hell. And it's that's why going to the source, reading the posts or reading scripture yourself, not going, you know, not just going to church. Everyone goes to church and abdicates their responsibility. They have some man pontificating their own belief structure to them versus everyone you just named or all these first source champions of humanity, you know, they're living it. It's not theory, it's in practice. So
Yeah, exactly. No, I love that. And you know, I have a story for your audience because I was I'm gonna come back on your podcast because I got so many
bro,
stories
I hope so, man.
that we could go through, but
Yeah.
I'm gonna give this one to them for tonight. So I was very, very much not a believer in the Bible for a long time. I got hurt by the church when I was young. That's a story for another day. But and I was kind of new agey. Like I said, I believed in aliens and the Palladians and da 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 and all this stuff and whatever. And it wasn't until like 2020 where I started to believe in the Bible. And I have a story of how I started to believe in the Bible. So I, like I said, I was very new agey. I was doing new age practices like moon rituals and just like not like in a satanic type of way, but like, oh, it's a new
No.
moon. I'm
Yeah,
gonna
no
write
judgment.
down, I'm gonna write down my cares and toss them away and like all that goofy stuff, right? And I would meditate all the time. I would do like these meditations where it's like you're going to the higher realm and da da da, you're going to heaven and well, crazy, crazy meditations. But like when I was a kid, I always would not like I don't want to say call it astral traveling because like that's new agey, but like I would leave my body as a child and I would go to places that were familiar, right? They were like in the same realm that I was in. For example, when I was a kid, for many years, I would fly to my neighbor's house, who was this sweet old lady, and her entire house was full of demons and dead bodies. And this would happen to me for a very long time until I was about 11 years old. I would have a consecutive dream where I would fly to this kingdom, this golden kingdom, right? And I this all tied together when I like became super Christian and read the Bible and stuff, because for a while I thought I was flying to Atlantis, right? So I'd fly to this kingdom. It was a golden city, beautiful golden city. There was beautiful beaches that had like diamonds in the beach. There was these giant sea turtles. I remember this, the gigantic sea turtles. And I was at a wedding, right? And I was a photographer at this wedding. Okay. Now that I've read the Bible and all this stuff and it starts to connect, I was like, oh, I was at the bridegroom's wedding. I was at the feast. I was at the kingdom. I got shown heaven. I got, you know, because I believe in situations where God takes a child because a child has more innocence. And can show him these things and can give him visions and show him things. So, but to tie all that in now, okay, I was gifted at meditations. So one of my friends, you actually might know him, you know Zen Lounge?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Zen Lounge, he sent me a meditation because when he was a little new agey too at the time, and he sent me a meditation, and it was from this doctor that he actually used to work for, Dr. Tad James. Dr. Tad James is a hypnotist, right? So I do this meditation, right, where you're going to be talking to your higher counsel, okay? That's the name of the meditation. So my eyes are closed. I'm getting into the meditative state, and I get into the meditative state. I'm out of body, basically, because I'm able to do this. I'm out of body, and I get approached by a being, right? And now, this is before I read the Bible. This is me still questioning all the Council of Nicaea, King James. He was a Freemason, this and that. Like, just having a conspiratorial mind, it will take you far away. So just understand. So I don't know the Bible like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I get approached by this being, and this being has the head of a human, the head of a lion, the head of an eagle, and the head of an ox. Wow. And it has these gigantic wings, right? Wow. Like these gigantic wings. And it tells me, brother, we are the ones that watch over you. You need to know who you are. Mm-hmm. And then this other like light being with like rainbow like wings lands in front of me, and it looks at me, and I know it goes, it says, you need to know who you are, right? So I turn around, I wake up out of my meditation. Months go by. I became friends with a Christian on Instagram, and he's like, I've always, you know, believed in God. I believed in Jesus. Like, don't ever think that I've always believed in Jesus Christ since I was a child to now.
Yeah.
But I didn't believe in the Bible. I did. I thought the Bible was manipulated by man.
Yeah.
So I finally gave in. I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this Bible thing a chance. Right. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to randomly open up to a book, and I'm just going to start reading right there. Tell me how, bro, I open up to Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And it literally explains what a cherubim is.
Amazing.
And I was like, all right, the Bible's real.
Wow. Wow, bro, that gives me chills. That gives me chills. Yes,
it was. I have chills to this day, man. And it made me, from that point on, read the Bible. I got baptized. I go to church all the time. I have all these amazing blessings from God and all the fruit and how you've seen my metamorphosis and all this stuff. And it's, I literally have had a spiritual experience at the point where it's like, I've seen that God is very, very, very real, and that he will send something or somebody or a situation to show you that his word is real and his word is alive. And Jordan Peterson made a great point where it's like, how many cross references is in the Bible is like so many thousands. It's like, there's no other book in the world that can do that. Whether people think it's manipulated or whether people think it's the real thing, there's no other book that does that, right? Mm-hmm. There's no other book that does that. And it made me realize that this is like, it's quantum. It's like a quantum physics computer. Yes. It really is. And it will play out in your own life.
Yes.
Like when you're searching for something, you will find it in the Bible. That lesson that you're looking for, you'll find it in the Bible. That's it's literally in God's word. And like, once you truly start to understand that, it's more quantum than 17. It's like, it's what is literally the glue of the foundation of everything that is happening right now.
Yes.
Was pre-written thousands of years ago. And Jesus Christ is the most quotable person in all of history. Right. Whether people want to believe he's God or not, he was a real person. And it's a very special week because this is the week of the resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is a great week to talk, you know, week to talk.
Right.
So it's like, I just want to give him all the praise and glory that everything that I have in my life is because of him. And like everything that he's given me and will give me or take away from me, I will still love him no matter what. And I'll lay my life on the line for him. I'll lose my life for him because that is the only true way into heaven, man.
Man, that's beautiful, brother. That's
Thank beautiful. You. Big shed a tear.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so good, brother. You know, There's so much. I talk about the Bible a lot. I read the King James Bible 7 times, cover to cover. I've read every Bible version. I'm in branding, and I use this example a lot in branding. So I did this with my company. There's no other religious book in the world has as many different versions as the Bible does.
Yes.
So that premise alone tells me that there is truth in it that they're trying to distill to manipulate. It's not that the Bible up until this point was manipulated. It's that they're manipulating it right now to this world. More than 500 different Bible versions in the English language. And they do, and this is a fascinating history where words matter, right? It's like the Jehovah Witness Bible says in John 1:1. So the accepted normal New Testament version in John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Mm. The Jehovah Witness Bible, the New World Translation, it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was a God.
Mm.
So one letter, one word changes the entire deity of what the word is, a God. Mm. So words matter, letters matter, which is why 17 is so profound in the way it Socratically asks questions and was, you know, and even apologized that one, like for the typo, moving fast on the go, like, because I appreciate the intention of every bracket, every word, every string of code, whatever was put in there. It's very intentional, right? So in branding, I give, and I tell people, this is not a religious exercise, but this is an exercise in language and why words matter. So I gave everyone a King James Bible, and there's 8 people in this group. And so we all read Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. So everyone's reading and it sounds good. It sounds normal. But then I give a different Bible version to each person.
Mm.
The new, let's see, NASB, NIV. What did I give it? I have
ESV.
ESV. Oh man, there's one. I don't know why it's skipping my mind.
NHIM. Right, NHIM.
I didn't give them that one. There's this other one that they add tons of words to it. So it's kind of funny. This is a funny story that I'll think about it in a sec what it's called. But anyway, there's this Bible that adds like tons of extra words to the verse. Amplified, the Amplified Bible. So I have them. So we all read in Psalm 23 together. It sounds crisp, clear, clean. Then I hand them 8 different versions. One person still has the King James. There's 7 other versions. And I'm not kidding. It sounds like demons reading Psalm 23. It's like, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, wow.
And then what's funny about the Amplified is the person kept reading like seconds after everyone else was done. Everyone kind of laughed. And I said, this is the Babel. But this also applies to brands and companies when words matter. Like I just did an exercise today with a group. When I say the word story, I mean truth. I'm a journalist by trade. So story to me is a synonym for truth. But someone else might hear the word story and think lie or fable. So it's like, oh, they've been telling stories again. So we think we're saying the same word, but we have totally different definitions of these words that we don't know. We hold on to these and why there's always a miss. So what is the first thing that the serpent asks Eve? He says, yea, as God said. Are you sure God said that? The first question the serpent asked Eve is, are you sure that God said what he said? And here's the trip about what she said, because she rebuts right away. And this is a lesson for everyone. God just said in Genesis chapter 2, don't eat of the tree, lest you die. That was it. Just don't eat of the tree. But when the serpent says, are you sure God says? Eve says, God said, we shall not eat it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. That's where he had her, because she added into the word of God. You read Revelation, add thou not unto these words. Oh, so all this extra narrative gets put in. So that, I'm only bringing this up as the Bible is quantum, and it is amazing, and it's also under attack.
Oh, big time.
It was never called the King James Bible when King James came out. That man was more bold and brave. When we hear, you know, it's funny that the election's coming up on November 5th, because remember the 5th of November? The gunpowder plot of 1607 was a Jesuit plot to kill King James because he was trying to bring the Bible to the common man to free them from the popery that was controlling the world. And interestingly enough, the King James Bible, it was called the Authorized Version, but after he died, they started mocking it. The Jesuits created a PR campaign to mock it. It was the seventh Bible in the English language. Super interesting. And there was no Bible in the English language from 1611, not until 1881.
Wow, that's a long time.
Bro, almost 350 years.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That one verse, when they read in church, when they say, a cracked Bible, everyone's reading. And look what happened, the revivals, the church, I believe the Church of Philadelphia, which is also interesting that the United States has Philadelphia. Out of the seven churches in Revelation, it's the only church that Jesus doesn't have something against. He has something against every church except the Church of Philadelphia. And here that is the founding of this country and this beacon of light and a shining hill for the world, you know? Anyway, in 1881, the Revised Version comes out. And from 1881 to today, we have 500 versions in the English language. And I ask people all the time, are we more holy? Are we more enlightened? Are we more sanctified, pure? No.
No, not close.
We're not. We're less, right? So yeah, the Bible, sure. I just love what you're saying because I want everyone to hear this because the Bible does matter. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I love that because it means that we study. Someone can't tell us. We have to know it. You know, you had to know it for yourself. That experience, like, can anyone tell you, oh, that vision you had with the cherubim, that wasn't real? You say, get the F out of here. Yeah. It was real. You know, what are you going to say?
Of course.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, bro, I don't even go on a tangent on that. Just to affirm what you're saying.
That's beautiful.
Everyone listening, it's like, dude, the Bible is the only offensive weapon in the armor of God. Everything else is defensive. Everything else is defensive. It's the only offensive weapon, which is why it's been taken from us or confused. And interesting, the King James Bible, he was the first Protestant king. He was the first king of the United Kingdom. He actually brought peace to the land. The Spanish Armada tried to take out his lineage with Queen Elizabeth in the Golden Age. The Catholic Jesuits tried to take out England because it was standing for truth and this beacon of light, and the Spanish Armada sunk before it even made the shores of England. The very first colony to survive a winter in the United States or in the colonies, Jamestown.
Yeah.
Named after. So look at where God's hand and blessing, and that Bible was written in a fifth grade reading level at the time.
Wow.
Bro, if that, you want to, people think we're evolving. We're like in, I tell people, oh, you think we're smarter than they were back then? Like, read the Fs, these, thous, and yees. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's hard. It's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. Anyway, brother, I love it. And so before, you know, I want to get into, well, actually, anything else you want to share before we like turn the corner?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because like with that situation with King James is like, we look now at what history is, right? It's his story, right? Yeah. It's completely made the people that were actually the good guys look like the bad guys. And I have a theory too, even with like the Knights Templar, like how they say like the Illuminati was created because of the Knights Templar and all that. I think the Knights Templar was the one trying to stop the Jesuits.
Yep.
I think that's why they got killed. I think that's why Friday the 13th, the 13th, 13 is such a prevalent number in the Illuminati's.
Yep.
So I think King James is another one of those people that had that fingerprint of God on him, right?
That's right.
They tried to take him out. And like I said, like when I was first, you know, conspiratorial mind, oh, he's a Freemason, he's this, he's that. But then you look deeper into it and you realize, you know, that Guy Fawkes was a great, 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 great point, because Guy Fawkes was basically the first CIA.
Yes.
He was the first intelligence agency. That's right. Where it all started. That's where all of this has started.
They've made him the protagonist, like V for Vendetta flips it.
Yes.
It makes Guy Fawkes the bad guy. But dude, it's so, everything's inverted truth. I'll tell you about 13. So why 13 is their number is because Genesis 3:1 is the very first time the serpent's mentioned in the Bible. So they invert it. So they celebrate the serpent. Also, what's cool is Genesis chapter 3:1 is the 57th verse in the Bible. 5G. G is the seventh letter in the alphabet. So 5G is their frequency. It's the serpent frequency of 13.
Wow.
3:1. And that's what the Mason symbol is. It's G in the middle and seven.
Like, yes.
Bro, everything's fascinating. I look at this world like, that's why I love your stuff, bro. I'm like, sometimes I sit back. I'm like, man, this is just, I guess, you know, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. It is to see this as a movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. You say you're watching a movie. It's like, hey, why not? This is fascinating, you know?
We're not making it out alive no matter what. You know what I mean? I always tell people, that's like one of the most important things that Christians need to realize is like, there's a lot of, especially on Twitter, oh man, they're the worst. There's a lot of like just Book of Revelation readers, right? That they just want to predict the end. They just want to predict the end of the world. They're just, they're like, it literally says, I think it's in the Book of James, it says like, we should not like be predicting when God is going to come. Like we shouldn't be, I forget the word, but like basically crying over it, like bellying over it. Like, and these people are like the definition of that. Like they're trying to predict when Jesus is going to come. Trump's the Antichrist.
I saw your spaces with that dude.
Oh yeah. That guy, dude, he's a little far off and in between, but it's just like, they're trying to predict the end when it's like, life's not promised to you no matter what, homeboy. Like the end could happen today or in 20 years. So it doesn't matter. It's like, just be like the 16 virgins that were ready.
Right.
Always be ready for the Lord. Don't be like trying to guess when he's going to come and trying to clean up your act because you think he's going to come. It's like, always be ready. Be in obedience. And even if you slip and fall, repent. Just get right back to it. Dust it off and get right back to it. But to always sit there and be like, oh, this is the end times. This is the end times. This sign, that sign. It's like, yes, there will be signs. Yeah. And I agree that we should look for the signs.
Right.
But to always be in, it's like, it's fear, right? You're in fear.
Yes.
Because if you weren't in fear, you'd be like us. We're watching a movie. We're cozy. Yep. We're hanging out. We're laughing. Yep. We're looking at this and being like, what a ridiculous thing. Like every time some crazy thing happens, like even if it affects me, I'm like, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's funny. It's funny, like watching this administration and the things that they're doing and the crazy things that Larry Fink and BlackRock are doing and WEF are doing and telling us to eat bugs and all. It's hysterical to me. I think it's literally a hilarious situation. And it's like, it's because I know and lean on my understanding of God that I have Jesus Christ in my life. And that if I were to die right here, right now, my salvation is already in check.
Dude, I love it. I feel like giving you a headbutt. Just like, let's go.
Sword of the Spirit.
That's right. And that's it. I was telling some buddies, I got some buddies that are, you know, they go to Mar-a-Lago, they get invited over there, and they're super intense cats, and you know, they're interesting dudes, and they're talking all sorts of stuff and this and that. I said, man, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I said, I'm so thankful to be alive right now because at least I know who I am. Meaning, what a gift. Like, you know, we were questioning who we were. I don't know. I presume a lot of people at some point wonder, like, what am I made of? You know, 2020 showed us who we were made of. And now even more so, it's like, man, this is exciting. If it goes down, then it goes down, and at least we know who we are, that we can take that step right across the veil into God. I'm like, wow, like that was amazing.
Exactly.
So
it's the best ending yet, right? Exactly, it's the best ending yet.
Exactly right.
So enjoy it.
Right. Bro, I would love to. I want to have, and I'm not ending this. I just want to talk about the Ungovernable Project.
Oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Because, you know, I gave you a shout out on social and I love it. I cook with it nightly, if not nightly, all the time. And
the best.
I love your branding. Everyone go pick up. The Ungovernable Project, Beef Tallow. Tell me about your journey. And even because I saw it, you know, the soda can, like when you were like, stuff like that makes me laugh, dude. It's just funny. It's all funny. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we can't, everyone takes things so serious and it's like, dude, it's all good.
My mom.
But tell me about,
of course.
Tell me about your journey in this, man.
Yeah. So honestly, it all has to do with my girlfriend, man. I met my girlfriend. It's so crazy. It's like how our story is truly divine, because the way we met is just like, dude, I was a very lustful person. I'll be 100% honest. Like, yeah, I was chasing tail all the time. That was just like my crutch. Like, I was completely broken by lust, and that was like what I really had to give up the most. Literally, like, I moved to Austin in 2020. Me and my whole family, we leave Jersey, we moved to Austin, outside of Austin, Georgetown. I moved out of my mom's house. I was like, you know, I'll get into it on another podcast, but I was really bad with drugs and messed up my life and whatever. But moved out of my mom's house, I moved to an apartment, and she was my neighbor. She was my neighbor. She's from Ohio. She moved. So she worked. She worked literally for the enemy. She worked for Hollywood. Wow. She did accounting, not like a actress or anything like that. She did accounting for like movies and TV shows and stuff. So she was living in New York during COVID and she wanted to get out. So she moved to Austin. We both end up like one day, I left my trunk open of my car and, she knocks on my door. She's like, "You left your trunk open, right?" And I was like, "Oh, thank you, whatever." That's the first time I see her. Then I see her again because I randomly saved a turtle. There's a turtle like trying to cross the road, and I saved a turtle. Then like she was walking her dog as I was walking upstairs. She's like, "Hey, I saw you save that turtle." I was like, "Oh, thanks." Like, she's like, "No, that's awesome. Like, that's so cool of you." Mm-hmm. And then I'm at church, and as I'm walking out of church, she's like, "Hey, neighbor, I didn't know you go to this church." And like, I was like, "Wait, what? Like, you go to this church?" And then like we just like started talking, and like she was just like, she was into everything I was into, like from like every single thing. And she was already on this, like, because my whole life, dude, I'll be straight up honest, I ate garbage. I was like the worst eater. I just ate like dinosaur chicken nuggets and friggin' every seed oil you could think about, and candy, and drank so many sodas and energy drinks. I was just like a walking cesspool. But she was into this carnivore lifestyle. And she was the one that put me onto it. And she's like, "Have you ever cooked with tallow?" And I was like, "What the heck is tallow? I've never heard of this before. I'm Italian. I use olive oil. Like, what do you mean tallow?" Right. So she introduced me to tallow, and I was like, my entire life changed. I was like, "Oh my God, this stuff's amazing." Like, and you know, tallow was already getting like big because like Van Man and like all this stuff. So like when, like we wanted to start a company, but like we wanted to corner a different market because so many companies were coming out, because tallow is also amazing for your skin, and we do sell it for your skin, right?
Right.
So we wanted to corner a market where people weren't going to corner, which was food. We're like, nobody else is selling tallow that is, you know, cooking grade. Everybody's selling it for their skin. They're trying to produce it at a small level, and they want to sell it for skin. So we're like, let's get into skin later, but let's do it for food first, because by fixing people's guts, you're going to fix their skin anyway. So you know, we prayed on it. We figured out the name. When you receive one of our packages, it always comes with a Bible verse. We put like, this is our way of spreading the gospel, you know, to unbelievers, to believers. Like, we are a hardcore Christian company, and we won't bend the knee to any of that stuff. So that's why we named it the Ungovernable Project, is because it's like, we're not going to be governed by big food. We're not going to be governed by big pharma. We're not going to be governed by big government. Like, we're going to take control, which is something that we can do first, is with our food, because they're poisoning us. They're putting these toxic chemicals in our foods, from seed oils to enriched flour to folic acid. Like, there's so many. If the rule of thumb should be, if you go to the grocery store, always read your ingredients. That's what I tell people. Always read your ingredients, because if you don't read your ingredients, you're not going to know what's actually in there. And there's about 100 different things. I posted today on our Instagram for Ungovernable. I saw it from Food Babe.
Yeah, that's right.
Chick-fil-A sandwich. Yeah. There's 50 freaking ingredients in a Chick-fil-A sandwich. It should just be chicken.
Right.
Like, why is there 50 ingredients in a Chick-fil-A sandwich? So I just became so, because I already was like conspiracy theory guy, like they're trying to get us and da da da. Like, and I was just so blind to like food because I loved food and I wanted to keep eating I want to keep eating the poison. I want to keep poisoning myself, right? I'm like, oh, I love this stuff. Like, I remember like even like when I was posting like early on, like people would just be like, you eat like horribly. Like, what are you doing? Like they would tell me all the time. And I'd be like, oh no, God gave us control over all the food. It's fine. We're fine.
Right,
and
right, like, right.
So we started to like create this product and it's, man, I have no words for what it's done. I mean, we started with 30 pounds, just like off a whim. Like we bought like a box. We use 100% grass-fed suet. So no mRNAs, no glyphosate, no soy, no corn. The ranch that we're partnered with, they have won awards for how good they treat their cows. Okay.
Wow.
We use 100% regenerative farming. So we don't use any factory farming. These cows graze all day from the day that they're born to the day that they get, you know.
Yeah.
So they're treated amazingly, right? So we literally checked every box off on getting this stuff done. We started with 30 pounds. We now cook 1,000 pounds a week.
Wow.
We've probably had like, I don't know, 30,000 sales or something, like some crazy, crazy number since July when we started. And what I truly believe is because, yes, we're putting out an amazing product. Yes, we're helping people with their health, with their skin. Like I said, it's also great for skin. Our one product is called the Wiseman's Gift. So it's directly to Jesus. It's tallow with frankincense, myrrh, and gold and castor oil. So I had a revelation, and me and my girl, we had a revelation. We were like Jesus was given these three things in the manger. Why? Like this is the baby that can heal all.
Right.
This is the baby that is the greatest gift of all time and gives you salvation. Why was he given those three things? Then you look into it, frankincense, myrrh, and gold at a high level are antibacterial, anti-parasite, antiviral, anti-aging, like so many amazing properties, right? For your skin and your vitality. And with the ingredients that we use, they're all raw. So tallow, it's not like any of these other skin creams where it sits on top of your pores. It actually absorbs through it because it's a fatty acid like our skin. So it's cool. It's biocompatible with our skin. So it goes through it. So all these ingredients that we put in it all go through your skin and heal you. And you know, we have thousands of testimonies of people, eczema, chemical burns, dry skin, psoriasis, babies with diaper rash. Like, we're healing people with this product. And it's because we put the Holy Spirit in it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's become at such a high level and it's fruited so much because we're spreading the gospel with it.
Amazing.
God is the one that is controlling that ship.
Amazing.
And I give him the glory. He is the one that has made the cha-chings and has made all this happen and gave us all the ideas and the things that we do. And our relationship is we go to church. It's everything is centered around God. And that's what we want to do with our business. Like you said, the Bible is under attack right now. Jesus is under attack right now. The nuclear family is under attack right now. Yes. Everything that God wants for our world is under attack right now. Yes. So what do we have to do? We have to be the soldiers of Christ and the opposition to the enemy. And that's what the Ungovernable Project is. We are not governed by the devil, but we are led by Christ.
I love it, brother. I love it. Man, I hope everyone I will put the links in. Got to buy this product. You got to support my brother here.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I want to affirm you in this because I started, I quoted Psalm 1:1. Blessed is man that walketh not in the counsel of the godly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, and this is for you, brother, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what is the law? It's to love God. It's not the 613 mitzvot. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's to love God with every freaking fiber of our being and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to meditate on the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And this is you, brother. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
That's you, bro. That's you.
I receive that. I receive yeah. that. Thank you,
That's
brother.
You, bro.
I receive that.
I've been so I rebranded this podcast. It used to be called the Golden Rule Revolution because I believed it was revolutionary to treat people like people. And but I just rebranded it to the Lucas Mack Show. And one of the things I was like, all right, God, what do you want me to do? What's different? You know, is it just a new name? And felt like God said, I want you to pray for every guest at the end of the show, brother. So if you don't
oh,
mind, man,
that.
I'm gonna pray for
Let's
you right
do
now.
it. Let's do it.
Father God, I thank you so much for my brother Anthony. I love this man. I'm thankful for him. This is actually one of the most fun episodes I think I've done, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to sit heart to heart with this beautiful soul. Father, thank you for his girlfriend, that how you have brought her alongside him. Thank you for the pain as a child opened him up to see things differently, and thank you for showing him, Lord, and giving him the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Father, I just pray that you continually lead him, me, and everyone listening, our families, our children, our lives. Lead us, Lord, into light. Lead us into your presence. Lead us into truth. Baptize us in your love. Baptize us in your grace. Baptize us in your presence for your glory and for your honor. And I just pray a blessing over every person listening around the world, for their households right now, for the sicknesses that people are struggling with, neurological disorders and parasites and heavy metals and all the sicknesses that they're putting out to the world. We break and shatter it all in Jesus' name. All of it returns upon the sender with conviction of sin. Deliver, Lord, your people, set us free, and bring us closer to you and closer to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, man. That was powerful, brother.
Brother.
I really want to say I appreciate you for having me on, man. I've done a lot of podcasts with a lot of people. This is a very, very special, powerful podcast.
Thanks, bro.
Do appreciate your time.
Thank
I appreciate the energy that you put out, all the scripture. You are like a wealth of knowledge with that, man. God has truly given you wisdom to be able to do that. That's very impressive.
Thanks, bro.
I will come back anytime you want to have me on.
Thanks, bro. Thank you.
For sure.
And one of these days, I'll have to drive down to Georgetown. We'll have to chop it
up.
Oh,
of course,
that
dude.
Would be fun, man.
Yeah. Come down anytime, man.
Awesome.
Of course.
Awesome. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Well, brother, thank you so much for coming on again. Everyone, I'm going to put the Ungovernable Project URL in the show notes. I'll put Anthony's info in the show notes. Go check him out. And just keep going, brothers and sisters. Keep seeking God, keep seeking love, keep seeking truth. All things will be revealed in their perfect time. And our job is just to stay in the presence of love, to love one another, to love God, to love love. God is love. And so when we love God and the love of God, all things work out for our good. I love you all. I am Lucas Mack. This is the Lucas Mack Show. Thank you for joining me, and I will talk to you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening. If you're struggling to break free and need support, go to my website at lucasmack.com. There you'll find resources like videos and ebooks, and also information on how to work with me for coaching. Thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon.